forget for being late. Oh, we give thanks.
Oh, we give thanks.
Happy May Day, everyone. This is a special celebration of our year exploring neighboring faiths. For a little background, Church Across the Street was published as a religious education curriculum in 1947. After going out of print in the 1970s, this beloved tradition was revived when the Unitarian Universalist Association published Neighboring Faiths in the 1990s. This year, our youth in their tweens and teens explored a number of faiths and made personal connections with others through visiting their places of worship and engaging in meaningful discussions. At this time, I'll ask each of the class members to introduce themselves and any guests and family present, but I'll go first. I have a lot of family here today, so thank you to my family. I have my son Nick, who most of you know, my husband Rob, give us a wave, my cousin Gina and her family, Kale, Carolina, Felix, Elliot Mitchell, and then my in-laws, Buddy and Bobette McGoy. So thank you all to my family, and we'll go on through the group.
I'm Lily Colburn. I am with Sandy Nelson, who you all know, and Dave Colburn, and Kat is in the nursery.
I'm Helen Mayfield.
I'm Clara Mayfield, and my parents, Carolyn Ferguson and Mark Mayfield, will be here back there.
My name is Maeve Tenona, and my dad is Scott Tenona, and my brother is Ronan Tenona.
I'm Mia Thompson. My mom, Mayumi Saito, just dropped my brother off for soccer.
But she's coming back as well.
Hi, I'm Lauren Cave, and I'm here today with my sister Carrie, my mom Erica, and my grandmother Deirdre. Okay,
got the books. I'm going to just do a little introduction for you. And that's you. Okay. And now Carrie will give our more traditional opening.
Good morning. I'm happy to welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan today. No matter your age, your size, the color of your eyes, your hair, your skin, you are welcome here. No matter how you came here, if you came alone or with others, you are welcome here. No matter whom you love or how you speak or whatever your abilities, you are welcome here. Whether you come with laughter in your heart or tears in your eyes, you are welcome here. If you come here with an open mind, a loving heart, and willing hands, then you are indeed welcome here. I'd like to read you something I wrote after moving back to Manhattan and starting to attend the UUFM again. A safe place for all. If we are safe here, would we make our safe place a safe place for all? For foes or foreigners, Democrats or Republicans, would you open your home to gays, men or women, children, the poor or the rich, no matter of race or intelligence? Of course, you say. But really think about it, about all. No matter who they are, you would provide not just shelter, but summer with love and generosity, a place with care, a place to speak freely, to freely speak their minds without hesitation, caution, or regret, a place for well-being and clarity to give them a voice. Let's make that place be.
Ronan will light
Inviting Ronan to light our chalice, and Carrie's going to read a quote from Vincenzo Galilei.
It appears to me that they who improve of anything simply rely on the weight of authority without adding any argument in support of it act very absurdly. I, on the contrary, wish to be allowed to raise questions freely and to answer without any adulation of authorities, as becomes of those who are truly in search for the truth. A series of thank yous are also in order as we begin this service. Thank you to Molly and Sandy and the other religious education volunteers. Thank you to other UU supporters of our classes here, including John Alu Johnstone, James Pelletier, Chris Bailey, Kathy Hedge, and Caroline Ferguson.
I'm going to continue with the thank yous and move the footstool that I'm taller. Thank you, Carrie. Our host should be named as well, so I'm going to just name the people that helped us do services at other places and came to visit us, just so in case some of you know them, you'll know exactly who they are. So thank you to Katie Wilburn Starling from the Manhattan Jewish Congregation. Thank you to May Altamimi from the Islamic Center. Thank you to Robert Berry, priest at St. Isidore's, who granted an interview, and Deacon Chad Stramel at St. Thomas More, who hosted us for Mass. Thank you to Pastors Richard Gehring and Barbara Crable Gehring from the Manhattan Mennonite Church, who gave an interview and welcomed us to their service. Javelle Roan connected us to the Manhattan Christian Fellowship Church. Ty Emery Span Wilson gave us a tour of the United Church of Christ and visited with us about youth programming. Buddhist guest Natalie Fernando and Hindu guest Shaker Sri Abdi Hatla were very generous with their time when they came here. So a thank you to all of those who made this wonderful year come together. Okay, I do need to call your attention to the announcements in the service, but also note that we are not singing hymn number 1017, Building a New Way. That was an accidental printing, so after our offertory, we'll just go right on to our service. So please note we will not be stopping for that hymn today. But regarding the announcements, I was not given any special announcements, so please just look at your service or look at your order of service and see all the things that are coming up. And also know that when we get to our program, we're going to be talking about the UUFM vision statement and the seven principles that appear on the back of the program every week. So if you want to refer to that at any time, we would encourage that as well. Now I will ask that you open your hymnal to number 1023, Building Bridges, and I think Michael will get us organized.
Molly, why don't you go back and take that group? Vic, why don't you go back and take that group? And anybody else who wants to be part of one of those groups, we'll sing through a couple of times, and then we'll, do it as a round.
Building bridges between our nations, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all
Okay, thank you. Today we are grateful for many things here in community. We can call them to mind and speak them aloud. Today we may also have concerns for ourselves or loved ones and friends. Raise your hand if you have a joy or concern to share.
Hi, I just want to say that Elka is home with a fever today and not feeling good, so let's all keep her in our thoughts. She just has a cold, but that's why she's not here. And Harriet Yankee is also having health problems, so let's keep her in our thoughts.
Fourteen years ago today, I was a gestational carrier to two twins for a couple in Prairie Village. Anyway, so 14 today, so that's nice.
I have a joy that is May Day. Happy May Day.
I'd just like to thank everyone who contributed personal care items. I took a large box to the crisis center and another to the emergency shelter. And if you saw the posting on Facebook, you'll see how many and what a broad variety of items. They're very appreciative, and we'll do another collection in the fall. Thank you, everyone.
John Extel, from what I've heard, has just had a valve replaced up in the Mayo Clinic or somewhere. I'm not sure. I wish I actually knew more details. I don't have them. Somebody may, but so there we go. There's more details to come.
Not much more detail, but yes, he had a valve replacement at the Mayo Clinic and is doing well after day or 2 days after surgery.
I have a joy today. My mom is currently attending the service, and I would just like to thank her because we are doing the service today.
Mom, raise your hand.
Okay. If you can, yeah, give it to Lily. Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to call all the children forward. Why don't I let my 1-2-3s get in their places, please? And we're going to play a game today, and it's two truths and a lie. And so, okay, all the kids come forward and kind of be in front here. And here's how this works. We want to highlight some of the visits that we went by playing this game. So our 1, 2, and 3 are going to read three statements, and two of those statements are true, but one of them is a lie. So we need you to vote with your feet and go stand. There's a lot of kids, no pushing, no shoving, no tripping. Go stand near the person that you think told the lie, okay? Does that make sense? Does everybody have it? All right, so our first scenario here was the Catholic Mass we attended at St. Thomas More. And so start us off, number one.
About 300 people were at the Mass we attended.
There was only one Sunday service there, just like here.
The children were sung out just like here.
Okay, so which of those do you think is a lie? Couple kids. Somewhere. Go. We have some twos, some threes, a lot of threes. Okay. All right. I'm going to say that the lie here, hold up your fingers. Who's voting which way? Okay. We have general consensus. The lie here was number two. There were 300 people at the Mass we attended, which was the largest Mass of the day, but they also have two other Masses that day, and there are two more Catholic churches in Manhattan. All right. Scenario number two. You guys can stay where you are and just shift if you need to. Scenario number two is from the First Congregational United Church of Christ.
We learned that some people joke that UCC stands for Unitarians consider in Christ.
They do not do joys and concerns at this church.
One of us liked UCC so much, they have gone back several times for youth group.
Okay. Vote with your feet again. Where are we clustering? You're staying? Okay, hold up your fingers. It is two again. They did do joys and concerns, and we really liked how they did it. You guys are smart. Goodness gracious. Okay, next scenario is from the Manhattan Jewish congregation, and Miel starts off again.
Kala, the bread we ate was from Radina's.
After dinner, we sang prayers for over 40 minutes.
Their building was much larger than ours.
Which one do you think? Bread from Radina's, singing for 40 minutes, bigger building. Oh my gosh. How'd you guys get so smart? Okay, their building is actually smaller, but so number three is correct, but they do have an RE room, which is important. Okay, third scenario from Manhattan Christian Fellowship Congregation, which is a primarily African-American congregation.
We all took communion with the congregation.
They were very welcoming.
They played music all through the service, even when the bishop was preaching.
Which one do you think is not true? You're staying put? Okay, you're wrong for the first time. The incorrect one was one, we did not take communion with the congregation. Okay, we've got two more of these. Everybody's being a good sport, thank you. All right, next one is from the Islamic Center of Manhattan.
Ronan passed out in the library.
It was a casual and happy atmosphere.
We were not allowed to take off our shoes.
Okay, so those are the three choices. Ronan passing out, happy atmosphere, or not taking off shoes. It's kind of a clue when Ronan votes, I guess. Yes. It was very hot and stuffy there for a moment, but we all gathered ourselves together again. We were told to take off our shoes as soon as we entered the building, and there was a big wall where you could put all your shoes. So item three was the correct answer there. Last one is from a Baptist church we visited.
Service stopped so everyone could fill out an online survey that included a question about how many people you had shared the word with within the past year.
The sanctuary ceiling and chairs were exactly like ours.
Lily's gum did not fall out of her mouth and onto the carpet.
Okay, so which one is the lie? Our statements were service stopped so people could fill out an online survey about how they had shared the word. And the second one was looked very much like this. And the third one was about Lily's gum. We have a bunch of votes for gum, it looks like. Okay, Lily actually did drop her gum on the carpet and had to pick it up with a card and wondered if she was being sacrilegious. But anyway, thank you all so very much. We're going to sing you out now, and you can go back to your classroom. So.
Go. Love and grow in wisdom. Shine your light in all you do.
They do? Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Now, it has to be centered, I'm sorry. Just some of us will be very unhappy if it isn't.
Okay. Whatever makes you happy. All right, thank you. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to do a couple of the learning activities we actually did in our class, because I want the congregation to get an idea of what we experienced as a class, what the curriculum tells us to do. So I believe, and you can nod if you're really willing to do it, I believe my first volunteers are Chris Bailey and Kathy Hedge. So, yes?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Come on up. Yes. And the microphone ended up. Okay. So our
good morning.
So what we're going to do is, actually Helen's going to introduce this activity. So, and we'll have you guys go over there. So.
We'd like each of you to take the picture. We'd like each of you to take a picture, describe what you see, and then put it in the picture. Put the picture on the spectrum with least religious at the far left and most religious at the far right.
Okay, from the most religious, take the
least religious.
To least religious.
So what we have over here is we have a spectrum of least religious to most religious, and they're going to be putting pictures on it. Do I need to say that into the mic? We have a spectrum of most religious and to least religious, and they're going to be putting pictures on it and talking out loud while they do it so we can all experience the learning with them.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
So what do you think that is, Kathy?
I believe this is the Vatican.
Okay.
And it's actually a building, so the religion is for the people who are in it. And I know a lot of tourists like to go there, too. So it's going to be kind of in the middle here. I mean, in the range here.
Okay. Well, I have a photo of what looks like our solar system. And it's got the sun and planets and what looks like some asteroids. And so some might take this as a religious a photo, but I'm going to put it over here on the far end of the spectrum for least religious.
I would have put it on the exact opposite end, because to me that's my religion. So, okay, I have a terrific picture of looks like maybe some children from the favela, and they are extremely joyful and running and smiling and happy. And to me, that's a very religious symbol.
I would concur.
We agree.
Well, this is a photo of six pallbearers carrying a casket that is festooned in flowers. I don't know. But they are clearly part of a funeral. And funerals do not have to be religious, but this one looks very traditional, so I'm going to put it over about where the Vatican is.
Ah, well, I got a real toughie. I might have to confer on this one. Okay, this is...
I don't know
is,
what you're going to do with that.
I don't either.
I don't think there's a right thing to do. I don't know if there's a right way to do this one.
I agree. What we have here is a picture of the UU chalice. So is there another category? I would say that this is an overarching image covers it all.
That was a good save, Kathy. Well, here we have Papa. Looks like the good Pope Frank. And he is hugging a child as he is being adored by his followers. So this is ostensibly religious, but then again, he is hugging a child, and, you know, I mean, that's not necessarily particular to any one religion or even the religious. But since he's the Pope, I'm going to put Papa over here with religious, just on principle.
Speaking of hugging children, this is a loving embrace between a child and a woman. It could be mother and daughter, but it has much ease, much naturalness to it, and I think that is, let's see. I think it goes very much on this perspective, but I'm trying to figure out what placement. I think right about here.
All right. Well, this is a photo of a sunset. And I beg your pardon. I know that some people attach special spiritual significance to this. For other people, it's purely an aesthetic thing. So I'm going to just put it in the middle. Could you help with that?
All right. Oh, yay. Okay, this is a picture of our choir. Yeah, or a choir. Yes.
Looks very similar
to us. You know, the women are wearing pants. So, so they are all lifting their voice in song. The only thing that makes me go from the non-religious over to religious is I recognize the gate that's in front, which is where most of my childhood I went to communion. So I think it probably is for the people who are singing more on the religious perspective.
Well, Molly gave me a gimme as the last one. I have a photo of a Torah here, complete with the pointer. There's a name for that, but I confess I can't remember what it is.
Yod.
The yod. And so I'm just going to have to go ahead and stick it right over here, because that is the present basis of the Jewish religion.
Thank you both so very much. And you already did the thing I was going to ask, which is, would you rearrange anybody's? But you've already voiced your discontent with the placement of that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As we did that thing. Can you guys pull these off? So as we did that exercise, we were encouraged to think about these questions and reflect on these questions. Do the words religious and spiritual have the same meaning? To be a religious activity, must it happen with others, or can it happen alone? Some of the pictures, I didn't do all of them. There was a woman just sitting kind of in a meditative pose. That was one of the pictures. Another question we were to ask ourselves is, can you have a religious experience at the beach, or I would say the Kanza, or the lake, or wherever? And we were encouraged to consider that religions can encompass many things. So that is kind of where we started our year this year with neighboring faiths. And one of the next exercises we did, thank you, one of the next exercises we did, our volunteers for this are Scott Tenona and Jonalu Johnstone. And so they're going to come up. And I'm going to have you draw a grid. You can choose the color of your choosing. And it's going to have, across the top, kind of in three columns, it's going to have beliefs, values, and practice. And I didn't tell them which religions they were getting so that this would seem somewhat spontaneous, so they're not practiced. And then what we'll do is we'll put a religion over here and we'll see if we can figure this out. So what are we trying to figure out? Well, our text tells us that a belief often points to a value, a practice often reveals both a value and a belief, and religions include all three components. So I want you to think about, first, Catholicism. And see what you think you might be able to plot up there. Just an idea or two, and there are not right or wrong answers.
Who wants to start?
So beliefs in Catholicism, I'm going to put that the Pope is an authority in matters religious. I will put, so what values? There are a lot of things I think we could put for values here, but amongst the values, I think there's something about being part of the community, following the practices, following the rules. And then in the practice, well, I guess actually, my practice is going to be the same as the values. It's going to be following the rules. There we go. Yeah, so I could have thought about that differently. How could we do the values versus the practice differently? I'm not sure, but I'm sticking to that.
Oh, okay. All right, that they have a belief in transubstantiation. Everyone knows what that is, right? Transubstantiation means that when the host is given, it becomes, or when it's blessed, it becomes the body of Christ, and the wine becomes the blood of Christ. So that's transubstantiation. So the value from that. Why did I think of this one? I think it's the holiness. It's about the holiness of Jesus.
Connecting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, good. Connecting with the holiness of Jesus. And the practice would be being very careful with the host and the wine. So you don't, you know, some people don't even touch it. They let the priest put it on their tongue. When the wine can't be just thrown out. If there's wine left, it has to be, you know, so those are practices that come from that.
Our next will be Islam or Muslims.
I'll let you go first.
Okay, so Islam. Belief is Muhammad is the prophet of God. So, values that come out of that. Well, because Muhammad is the prophet of God and the Quran comes from Muhammad, then there's this, there's a valuing of the word of God. The word of God is valued. The Quran is valued because Muhammad produced that. And the practice is the recitation and prayer using the words of the Quran.
Okay. So, what shall I add here? I still don't know. So, belief in what, the five pillars, I guess?
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah. Five pillars. Which, of course, everybody knows, right?
And so, what's the value associated with that? Well, there are a bunch of values associated with that, right? Yeah, so let's put that one. Charity and generosity. So what actual practices, so this comes out in different ways, right? But all right, but giving, right?
Giving.
Okay.
Giving all.
giving alms, hearing it from the audience. Very good. Okay, last religion we're going to talk about is Unitarian Universalism. And you passed on the last one, Scott. So,
this is harder than the other ones. No, it's not really. But there are a bunch of things, again, in terms of beliefs. Well, actually, this category is, of course, the hardest for UUs, right? But I will put for one of them. No, I'm going to go forward. Though I do think mostly we back in, all right? I think that's the way. I think everybody kind of backs in from beliefs, from practice. But so let's put the environmental, let's put the web. Oh, okay. All right, so the web of existence, of which we all are part, so the values are, that means that we value non-human animals and the environment, right? And the practice, then, would be practicing green behavior.
Recycling. Okay, well, you went with the web of existence, then I'll have to go with the inherent worth and dignity of every person, right? Inherent. Big words. We believe in big words. Inherent worth and dignity of every person. So that means that we value human animals.
That's nice.
Yeah, a little balance there. And so the practice is being kind, listening, responding to people's needs. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you. So those are examples of the kind of work our kids have been doing. And I call it work because it's work. You have to think. You have to put yourself out there. You have to consider a number of different things. How do you turn this on? You have to be willing to have somebody disagree with you, all those sorts of things. So thank you. Okay. At this time, we are going to have our offering. And it's going to be another example from our class. We're going to play the Buddhist prayer, Iti Piso Katha, and it's a chant. And one Buddhist described the purpose of chanting as a reminder of the practice we need to follow in daily life, a type of meditation in itself, and also, at the same time, thank you all for that moment. The biggest teaching hurdle I had this year was how to talk about what we were doing and being truly respectful to others and truly appreciate that we all have different ideas. And in one class, I just bluntly asked if when we considered the larger churches we'd visited, if these were rooms of 200 or 300 people, and these rooms full of 200 or 300 people were full of unintelligent or insane people. And my class didn't think that, but it was a point of discussion for us. And I found myself saying the phrase, completely different religious worldview a lot. They have a completely different religious worldview than us. And therefore, a lot of different assumptions can happen from that. So one of the ways for us to accept a different church culture as normal is to realize that we have a culture here. So we did this slightly differently in class, but what I'll do here is just tell a few UU jokes. So why don't UUs sing new hymns very well? Because they're reading ahead to see if they agree with the next verse. Very good. Very good. Okay. Why did the UU cross the road? Okay, this is one people haven't heard, I guess. To support the chicken in its search for its own path. What, and this is a kind of an old standard, but there's two versions of it. What do you get when you cross a UU with a Jehovah's Witness? Someone who knocks on your door for no apparent reason. Or, alternate version, which hit a little too close to home for me this year, someone who knocks on your door to learn about your religion. It's a little bit true. Okay. So, in class, we discussed how many people the teens knew who listened to NPR. The answer to that was a lot. And we asked how many people in our class had people in their family that watched Fox News. And the answer was not very many. We also discussed how cool it is for all the adults here to talk about farmers market and how uncool it is to talk about Walmart, your latest trip to Walmart. And this led to some snickering and my mom says this or my dad does that kind of discussion. But it was good, and it was a good kind of checkpoint mid-year to say, you know, we do have a culture here, and to people coming from the outside here, we can look very, very different. So at this point, I will turn it over to Mia to continue this topic.
One of the challenges of this year for our group was to reflect on ourselves and the UUFM in the same way we are considering the places we visited at and the people we talked to about religion. One week, Molly asked why a church might be predominantly African American, why Sunday mornings is a historically segregated time in America, and why do people of the same race group together in general? Then she reminded me that when she asked me how middle school was going, I said I had found a clique of Asian kids to hang out with. Our response as a class about why people do this was that it's more comfortable. It's easier to hang out with people who are like you, whether it be your culture, your interest, your ideas, or sometimes what you look like. This idea supported by a Scientific American article we discussed. The author, Catherine Phillips, wrote, "Social diversity in a group can cause discomfort, rougher interactions, a lack of trust, greater perceived interpersonal conflict, lower communication, more concern about disrespect, and other problems." But then the article goes on to discuss the positives. After discussing a lot of research and real-world scenarios, she says, "Diversity works by promoting hard work and creativity. By encouraging the consideration of alternatives, even before any interpersonal interaction takes place, the pain associated with diversity can be thought of as the pain of exercise. You have to push yourself to grow your muscles. In just the same way, we need diversity in teams, organizations, and society as a whole, if we are to change, grow, and innovate." The UUFM vision statement says that we embrace diversity. Diversity can be defined in a lot of ways. Embracing diversity means embracing the possibility of discomfort, but being willing to listen, like we did in the Buddhist exercise, willing to participate as we knelt at the Catholic Mass, and willing to appreciate as we consider the Mennonite commitment to nonviolence. We all need reminders to be open and to be willing.
To my choir folks, I did ask Mia to use those final words, open and willing, since we like that Holly Near song so much, just so for anybody who gets that reference. We're choir geeks, sorry. We don't want to dishonor those who went before us by being closed, so we want to be open and willing in all things, including diversity. Now, I will get out of the way so that you can hear more of our young people. We're going to further explore three lenses to review our experience. Maeve will go first and discuss the UUFM vision statement from her reflections, then Clara will be seven principles, and finally Lily will reflect on the virtue ethics that we studied last year, and we are right on time, so nobody has to rush, and we should be good to go.
My reflection on this year in RE is about how our experiences relate to this UUFM vision statement, which is on the back of your program. After some consideration, I ended up focusing mainly on two areas. In the first bullet, there is the phrase emotional growth through honest self-examination. When I think about this year, I'm not sure that I learned a lot of new facts, but I did learn about the various styles of religious services that my classmates at school and others experience. Since we experienced these things firsthand, I got a different perspective on how others considered their religions. In light of these new emotions and ideas, my beliefs didn't change, but I gained more confidence in my own ideas. If in the past I ever questioned if I was just missing something in my heart and I just didn't know how to find it, now I can say that I've seen it up close and I don't feel that I'm missing out on anything. I think the National U organization probably promotes this curriculum because they want us to be free and to choose our own path. We don't believe a person should be born into a religion. A person should consider what he or she believes and what is best for him or her. And I think our parents agree with this too. Exposing us to religions and different religious service styles is important, especially if we find something that will help us be happy. I know there are religious choices that I can make that would concern my parents a lot, but I do think they want me to have that freedom, and I appreciate that. Next, I focused on the fifth bullet, builders of bridges. Before I could explore this, I found I was struggling to define what UU really means versus what it doesn't. We even Googled the UUA What We Believe page to help me find the words for what I was trying to say and explain. And after knowing that, I concluded that I'm not sure if it's going to be easy for us to build bridges with other faiths. I feel that there is probably a bias in those faiths against us because we don't fit into a box. While they might say that they live by their religion, we say we believe in many things. For those who follow a creed, I wonder if they will fully include us or listen to us to what we have to say. I don't know how much weight our opinions would have or how big an impact we could make. But maybe it's not about the large things. When our Jewish hosts started asking us who was in our fellowship, they realized that they loved several of our members already. Maybe that was a bridge. When we all sat in the foyer of the Islamic Center and went around our group, each of us taking a turn counting off our seven principles, even though we only recited the children's version, they smiled and said they believed in many of the same things. Maybe that was another bridge. Overall, I think our program lived up to our vision, and I hope that putting ourselves out in the community, we have helped these efforts.
During our class, we found many similarities in our principles to beliefs other churches and religions have and what they practice. Principle number one. The inherent worth and dignity of every person. An example of where we found this principle in another church was at the First Congregational Church of Christ. They show this principle by their acceptance of LGBT individuals. Along with the UUs, this group is very outspoken in its welcoming acceptance of gays and lesbians and has also supported the Black Lives Matter movement. To be honest, we're not sure how many of the other churches we visited are good examples of this principle, or really take this idea to be as broad as the UU scope does. In many other churches, someone will be identified as a sinner or being somehow wrong. While individual members or congregations might embrace this principle, there may not be widespread acceptance. Principle number two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. In all the churches we visited and the religions we studied, we found this principle in some form. They strive to be kind. We found that in all religions, there is some aspect of this principle. For example, from a sheet I got in RE class, in Christianity, it says, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." Buddhism, "Treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." Hinduism, "This is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you." Islam, "Not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you wish for yourself." Judaism, "What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole Torah, all the rest is commentary." These examples show that in all different religions, the one main principle that shines through is to be kind to everyone. Principle number three, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. An example of where we observed this principle was in the Manhattan Christian Fellowship Church. They have an identity as a church, and we could see that they bond together as a church. This primarily African-American church had a completely different feel. It was an emotional service with music throughout, even when Bishop Martin was preaching. His sermon included a lot of calls and responses from the congregation. He paced and got sweaty because he was working to connect with others. He was sharing the challenges of growing up and getting into trouble, but being saved and becoming a better person. He connected real-world problems to the Bible as a source of study and guidance, and he and the other speakers and leaders made it clear they wanted to support each other through all kinds of struggles. This church did seem like it would be accepting, regardless of past troubles, and encouraging everyone to try to be a better person. We observed this principle from studying Hinduism, particularly in our discussion when Shaker visited. He said in Hinduism, people choose something they are passionate about and put effort into that, and they are free to observe whatever they find interesting. This shows that they are free to learn and are encouraged to do so. Principle number 5, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. We saw an example of this principle in the Jewish congregation. Together, they first had a Sabbath dinner, then discussed what they were going to do for their service. Principle number 6, the goal of world peace, liberty, and justice for all. In the Mennonite congregation, we saw an example of this principle, as their symbol is a dove with an olive branch in its beak, which means peace. They are pacifists, which means they are opposed to war or violence of any kind. The week before we went to visit the Mennonite church was when women were approved for combat duty in the U.S. We had a discussion that covered compulsory service for Israelis, both male and female, and how a Mennonite teen would need to document his beliefs when registering for the draft. It was scary for most of us to think about being drafted and made us appreciate what boys and men have been asked to do. We agreed that the lifelong commitment to nonviolence and pacifism was serious. When we visited with the co-ministers, Richard and Barbara, we learned how central this is to their whole lives, from the way they raise their children to how they look at world conflicts. This peace-first kind of concept is different from our national culture and made us think about the commitment in a different way. Principle number 7, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. When we were studying Buddhism and Natalie came to speak with us, we saw a great example of this principle. Buddhists believe in reincarnation and value of all life forms. In Buddhism, they do not want to kill any life forms because they believe all life forms are important. This shows a strong respect for nature. Overall, this year, it has been interesting to learn how many similarities our Unitarian Universalist principles have with other religious faiths.
So, as many of you may remember, about a year ago, we were standing on this exact stage and talking about what we had learned for that past semester, which was the Virtue Ethics curriculum. The Virtue Ethics curriculum explored 12 different ethics and values. They were moderation, integrity, respect, fairness, responsibility, compassion, humility, generosity, courage, forgiveness, and loyalty. It's not surprising that when looking at all of these ethics and comparing to what we saw throughout this past year, that a lot of them came up, because many of these ethics and these virtue ethics have their roots in religious beliefs and principles, and many of them, while we were learning about them, stemmed from Judeo-Christian values as well as other international religions like Buddhism and Hinduism. So this year, we got to see firsthand how these values and beliefs are all demonstrated, and like our beliefs, practices, and values, yeah, all that. So we got to experience firsthand how all of these religions practiced these virtues and how they believed in these ethics. So, and some of them stood out more than others as we observed all of them in real life. So moderation was one of our favorite ethics to talk about and kept coming up again and again. First, when we studied the virtue ethics curriculum and then throughout the year. So moderation is always exhibited in almost every single one that we went to, But we have to say that Buddhism was definitely all about moderation and exhibited and showed it the best. It's about the middle path, not becoming too forlorn or even too elated. It's the essence of Buddhism, living life in moderation in all ways. The Buddha describes the middle way as a path of moderation between extremes and of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. This, according to him, was the path of wisdom. Another virtue ethic was integrity. Hinduism seems to align with and demonstrates this virtue ethic probably the best out of all of the places that we visited. Through our studies and our discussion from a Hindu K-State student, integrity stood out as an important part of Hinduism. Hinduism teaches that it is important to know yourself and to be that self on the inside and the out. Learning through meditation and experiences, one can get to know who they are and what a virtuous person looks like and how to be honest and have integrity. It's important in Hinduism to learn who you are and then to be that person no matter what, even if it's hard. And that's basically what integrity is. We also learned and saw compassion throughout every single one, and this has been touched throughout both the virtue statement or the seven principles and our vision statement. Compassion was prevalent in almost every single one of our experiences. Everyone that we met with, whether it was pastors, priests, members of the congregations, believers, and other people who were also visiting, they were all compassionate and understanding toward us and what we were doing. They didn't try to push us away, and they welcomed us with open arms. Many different leaders met with us to talk and answer our sometimes tough questions. We also saw humility present throughout our visits, and humility was best demonstrated through our interview with the Catholic priest from St. Isidore's. To be a priest, one must give up things that none of us could ever dream up giving. They get rid of many of their possessions and go without much say to wherever their order or diocese tells them to go. They don't have much choice, and some of them, as stories that we heard through that priest, live quite lonely lives, and they have to be humble and not only be humble in giving up many worldly pleasures, but also be humble in the face of God. Generosity was also prevalent throughout our experiences, especially through the Christmas season when we visited a vast majority of our more Christian churches. They talked about giving to others and also then giving to the Lord. So our first trip, however, was to the Catholic Mass, and the sermon that was given, eulogy? I don't remember what it was actually called, but the like Catholic word for sermon. Homily. Yeah, not eulogy, sorry. So this trip to the Catholic Mass, they were talking about generosity and giving to others and actually also moderation, so that kind of ties back too. And then loyalty is the last one that I'm going to talk about. Loyalty was most prevalent at the Baptist Church. Our experiences at Grace Baptist was one of the more memorable and interesting ones. As aggressive evangelists, they're loyal to their church, they're loyal to each other, they're loyal to God, they're loyal to Jesus, they're loyal to their beliefs, and sometimes this loyalty can become a little too much when they become extremely closed off to other people. They're loyal to their beliefs and no one else's. They were loyal to their cause and everything about their religions and beliefs. And while it was interesting to see their strict loyalty and their harsh lines of division, it was somewhat refreshing to see enthusiasm and passion in what they believe in. While it might not always be the most positive in our eyes, it's something that many people criticize UUs for not having. We discuss this a lot, that UUs don't always have something to be passionate about. While we tell our kids that they should find what they want to do, that often leads to self-discovery, but can also be fairly lonely. And that is why this curriculum was extremely important, because we found parts of ourselves, not all of it, with each other. And we gave each other encouragement and didn't allow us to be lonely and gave each other passion for learning about ourselves, the world, and other people. So this curriculum that we did was a great tie-in to last year's curriculum of virtue ethics, because it's obvious that when looking at all of these different religions and people that we met with from all walks of life and different paths and belief systems, that they all kind of believe the same things that we do.
So they did a fantastic job. I don't really need to sum up, but I will. One of the goals and objectives of this curriculum is to reflect on the unique and universal, this is in quotes, to reflect on the unique and universal of religious experience. So I think we nailed it. I think they nailed it. I think they did it with A+. As a group, we assert that when you get past the differences in beliefs, creeds, and dogma, you see there are really only different styles. There is a universal belief in being a good person, which varies very little from atheist to church to temple to mosque to fellowship. One more joke and introspection is, I've altered this a little bit, but it's two ministers are arguing. And the first said, "If I were a UU and didn't fear the fires of hell, I could hit you over the head and steal your car and I'd still go to heaven." And the second UU minister answers, "But if you were a UU, the idea would never occur to you." So I sincerely hope that this is true for our young people. I hope that they grow into the world as good people, not because they are naive, but because they are wise. Please join me in hymn number 131, "Love Will Guide Us." Michael's got his... Oh, Michael's going to take a moment and get us all tuned up.
12-8 time. That means four triplets per measure. All right?
Love will guide us. Peace has guided us. Hope inside us will lead the way. On the road from greed to giving, love will guide us through the hard time. If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot speak before thousands, you can give from deep within you. You can change the world with your love. Love will guide us. Jesus guide us. Hope inside us will lead the way.
These are our closing words. May I be no one's enemy, and may I be the friend of that which is eternal and abides. May I wish for every person's happiness and envy none. May I never rejoice in the ill fortune of one who has wronged me. May I, to the extent of my power, give needful help to all who are in want. May I respect myself. May I know good people and follow in their footsteps.